The reading is from Genesis chapter 28, verses 10 to the end. Jacob's dream at Bethel. Jacob left Beersheba and set out for Haran. When he reached a certain place, he stopped for the night because the sun had set. Taking one of the stones there, he put it under his head and lay down to sleep. He had a dream in which he saw a stairway resting on the earth, with its top reaching to heaven, and the angels of God were ascending and descending on it. There above it stood the Lord. And he said, I am the Lord, the God of your father Abraham, and the God of Isaac. I will give you and your descendants the land on which you are lying. Your descendants will be like the dust of the earth, and you will spread out to the west, to the east, to the north, and to the south. All peoples on earth will be blessed through you and your offspring. I am with you and will watch over you wherever you go, and I will bring you back to this land. I will not leave you until I have done what I have promised you. When Jacob woke from his sleep, he thought, surely the Lord is in this place, and I was not aware of it. He was afraid and said, how awesome is this place? This is none other than the house of God. This is the gate of heaven. Early the next morning, Jacob took the stone he had placed under his head and set it up as a pillar and poured oil on top of it. He called that place Bethel, though the city used to be called Luz. Then Jacob made a vow, saying, if God will be with me and will watch over me on this journey I'm taking, and will give me food to eat and clothes to wear so that I return safely to my father's house, then the Lord will be my God, and this stone that I have set up as a pillar will be God's house. And of all that you give me, I will give you a tenth. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Thanks, Marge. Why don't we pray together? Lord God, we thank you that we can gather to worship you, that we can come together each week and spend time in your presence. And we ask that, Holy Spirit, would you come and speak to each of us this morning? The message that you have for us as individuals and as a community here. We ask this in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Oh, isn't it great to start a church with some map-related chaos? That was fun. And I didn't see it coming. This is the second week of our five-week series called Frontline, where we're looking at how we live as followers of Jesus from Monday through to Saturday, when we're scattered across our town. And this morning, I'm really looking forward to speaking on the subject of God's plan for that place. God's plan for that place. But where is that place? What do I mean by that place? If you were one of those who came up and put a red dot on that map, then I think it's very likely that that red dot is your that place. That place is where we spend our significant amount of our time in the week. It might be our workplace, our place of study, our home, our favourite leisure activity, the gym, the pub, all sorts of places. You might have more than one, and that's totally okay. But what I'd love for you to do this morning is to have that place in your mind, or those places where you spend your time when we're scattered across our town, because God has a plan for that place. I wonder if that place sometimes feels a bit mundane, a bit everyday. I don't know about you, but sometimes when I do the same thing over and over again, I think, why am I doing this? I'm not energized to go and do it. I wonder if it sometimes feels like an insignificant place. I wonder if it feels like a bit of a nowhere. But I have good news for you this morning. God has a plan for that place, even if it feels like a bit of a nowhere or a bit every day. And that's what we're going to be looking at together this morning. And we're going to be looking at that through the lens of a story about a man called Jacob, which we've heard a little bit about in our reading. But let me introduce you to Jacob. Jacob is a fascinating character in the Old Testament, the first bit of the Bible. And he has this really interesting family history. His dad was called Isaac, and Isaac was nearly sacrificed on a mountain, but then God saved him. Phew. And then Jacob's granddad, the one who nearly did the sacrificing, was called Abraham, and he shouldn't have been able to have children, let alone grandchildren. Jacob wouldn't have existed if it wasn't for God stepping in a miraculous way. Jacob also has a twin brother, called Esau. Esau, you might be interested to know, is the Hebrew word for, get this, red hairy one. So if you ever want to insult someone, you Esau, no, red hairy one. And Esau and Jacob had this really interesting relationship as twins. Jacob kind of stole Esau's inheritance. Jacob was an interesting character. He was actually a bit of a sneak at times. He's not one of these obvious hero characters that you might sometimes hear about. But God had his eye on Jacob. Jacob lived in the middle of nowhere, in this kind of insignificant place that has now, all these years later, become what's considered one of the holiest places in the world and the most fought over. Jacob had 12 sons. You might, if you've seen Joseph and the Amazing Technicolor Dreamcoat, the 12 brothers are Jacob's sons. And perhaps the most significant thing about Jacob is that his great-great-great grandson is Jesus Christ. What a claim to fame. So that's Jacob, this really checkered, interesting guy. And this story about Jacob takes place in somewhere called Luz. This place called Luz. It was a Canaanite town. It wasn't somewhere that was known or associated with God. It was nothing special. Luz was that place for some people, but it wasn't for Jacob. For Jacob, it was the last place he ever expected to encounter God. Luz wasn't even Jacob's red dot, not yet, anyway. It wasn't somewhere he kept coming back to. Luz really was a bit of a nowhere. Remember, we were thinking a moment ago about whether our that place sometimes feels insignificant or a bit of a nowhere. Luz really was a bit of a nowhere. This is reminding me why I'm not a school teacher. That was really difficult. Luz was a bit of a nowhere. I wonder if any of you have been on holiday, maybe quite far away, and you've taken a plane, and you've had to have a stopover. I've never had a stopover. Has anyone had a stopover on a flight? Oh, wow, that's exciting. The thing about a stopover is you do it on a long journey, don't you? If you're going perhaps to Australia or to New Zealand, you might take a stopover in Dubai or Kuala Lumpur, somewhere on the way where you need a rest. And the thing is that the place you really want to get to, the place that's significant, is your final destination, isn't it? Is Australia or New Zealand. And Dubai or Kuala Lumpur, you hadn't chosen to go there. That's just where you ended up in the middle of your journey. And that place for Jacob was Luz. Our reading tells us that Jacob was trying to get to a place called Haran. Luz was just a stopover on the way. He didn't really want to be there. He might not even have planned to be there. And verse 11 tells us, when he, that's Jacob, reached a certain place, he stopped for the night because the sun had set. Taking one of the stones there, he put it under his head and lay down to sleep. Luz was a location that you don't really want to go to. It was nowhere special. It was a nowhere. But Jacob just happens to be there, happens to have to spend the night there. Maybe Luz was a bit of a loserville. I thought I might get a groaner for that one. But in verses 16 and 17, something changes. We hear that when Jacob awoke from his sleep, he thought, surely the Lord is in this place, and I was not aware of it. He was afraid and said, how awesome is this place? This is none other than the house of God. This is the gate of heaven. Luz, this nothingy place, this nowhere, has suddenly become the house of God, the gate of heaven. So why the change? What happened? Well, the presence of God is what happened. Because the presence of God changes things. The presence of God turned something ordinary into something extraordinary. And it changed a nowhere into a somewhere. In Luz, God spoke to Jacob in a dream, and he told him how he and his family after him were called to be a blessing to the whole world. And God gave him a vision of heaven coming down to earth on a stairway. And don't worry, I haven't got my guitar with me this week, so I won't try and play it for you either. When Jacob woke up, he was astonished. And he said, surely the Lord is in this place, and I was not aware of it. The Lord was there all along. But the presence of God changed that place. The presence of God changed Louisville into the house of God, and nowhere into somewhere. And you might be sitting there thinking, is that it? Of course God was there. God's everywhere. That's nothing new. And you'd be right about that. Because Psalm 139 says this, where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I go up to the heavens, you are there. If I make my bed in the depths, you are there. If I rise on the wings of the dawn, if I settle on the far side of the sea, even there, even that place, your hand will guide me. Your right hand will hold me fast. There's nowhere we can hide from God. He's here and he is everywhere. Even Luz, even your home, even your school, your university, even your workplace, even your favourite coffee shop, even that place that you were thinking of, and even the nowheres of this world. Wherever you go, God is there. Wherever you go, God is at work. We sometimes say, use a word called omnipresent. We sometimes say God is omnipresent. And all that means is that God is present in every place. It doesn't mean that God is physically standing in every location on earth, but it means that God is present to that place. He's available. He's touching it. He's hovering over it. But if God is present everywhere, Then why isn't everybody all over the whole world waking up like Jacob and proclaiming, surely the Lord is in this place? What's with that? It's because God isn't present in just one way. God is generally present. He's omnipresent. But God also becomes present in extra ways, in special presences, in ways where God isn't just there, but he breaks through. He makes himself known to people in that particular place. And that is what Jacob experienced in our reading. Jacob experienced a special presence of God. And when we, like Jacob, become aware of God's presence somewhere, that changes places. And because God has this general presence everywhere, we know that wherever we go, God can act, God can work in one of these special presences to change that place from Loserville to the house of God, from nowhere to somewhere. When Jacob woke up, he said, surely the Lord is in this place, and I was not aware of it. God was there all along. He was generally present, but it took this special presence to open Jacob's eyes, to realize that God was there all along, to realize what God was doing. I wonder where we go and don't notice God at work. Think of that place. Do you notice God at work there? What would it take for us to open our eyes to see that God is in those places and at work there? God is present in that place on your red dot. God has a plan for that place, and God wants to transform that place like he did Luz. God wants to make himself known in that place. And the craziest thing is that God wants to make himself known in that place through us. God chooses to include us in being present in these places. He wants us to be part of his transforming presence. If we're Christians, if we follow Jesus, then we carry the transforming presence of God with us. If we're filled with the Holy Spirit, we carry that presence with us. And if you wouldn't call yourself a Christian here this morning, if you're maybe here for the first time or maybe exploring what faith is, then I just want to give you an opportunity to follow Jesus. See, Jesus, he created you. He loved you into being. He came to this earth and lived and suffered and died on a cross for us, so that we, each of us, are forgiven for all the times when we have turned away from the love of God. And then, what's more, he rose again from the dead to show us that we can join in this new life that he is living. And so maybe let's all pray together, but maybe pray this along with me if you don't yet follow Jesus and you want to today. Jesus, thank you that you love me. I'm sorry for the times when I haven't noticed your love, when I haven't acted in love. But I want to follow you. Would you fill me now with your Holy Spirit? I give my life to you. Amen. If you have prayed that for the first time or the first time in a long time this morning, I'd love to chat to you, speak to anyone that you've seen at the front this morning. We'd love to chat and pray with you about that and celebrate with you. We are presence carriers. We carry the presence of God with us. Could I ask for a couple of volunteers, please? Just two. And it would be really ideal, and you'll see why, if they were actually a couple, like a married couple would be ideal.
Tim and Melissa are down here.
Yeah, that's a great idea, Tim and Melissa. Seeing as no one volunteered. Guys, come up here. Could I ask both of you to get in this hoop? It's going to get cosy, which is why I wanted a couple. Now, you're in this hoop together. Tim, could you go and say hi to Amy, please?
on my own.
See what happens. Melissa, would you go and say hi to Una? Would that be okay? Brilliant, you can come back up here now. I'm wondering what else I should have them do. Should we give them a clap? Thank you so much for being our demo.
I thought we were going to have to jointly do that.
You're very welcome to, if you like. I shan't be trying that. Now, why have I put them in a hoop? I've put them in a hoop because where one of them goes, the other goes with them. They are joined together. They're tied together in such a way that they can't go somewhere without taking the other with them. And that's what it's like for us. We can't go somewhere if we're following Jesus without taking the presence of God with us. And we shouldn't be too surprised about that, because in our reading, God says to Jacob, I am with you and will watch over you wherever you go. Wherever you go. And that promise is true for us as well. Jesus promises to his disciples, and we're disciples of Jesus. He says in the book of Matthew, I am with you always to the very end of the age. Wherever we go, even the nowheres of this world, even that place, the presence of God comes with us, like Tim and Mel in a hoop. Wherever we go, we take the presence of God with us. I'm really forgetful. I need lots of reminders. If I don't write something down, it won't happen. And one reminder that I have in my life is I wear this cross. And when I remember, I put it on first thing in the morning. And I wear it just to remind myself that where I go, I need to be attentive to the presence of God in that place. There's nothing that special about this. It's just a reminder for me that wherever I go, wherever we go, the presence of God comes with us. And the presence of God comes with us in three ways that I want to really briefly talk about. The first is that the presence of God comes with us in what we are, in who we are. See, we are the body of Christ, aren't we? And that means that wherever we go, part of the body of Christ is going. Jesus has joined himself to his church in such a way that wherever we go, part of the body of Christ, part of the presence of God goes with us. The second way is we take the presence of God with us in what we carry. If we are filled with the Holy Spirit, then wherever we go, we can take the Holy Spirit with us. Wherever we go, we can pray that that place will be filled with the Holy Spirit, that the Holy Spirit will flow from us in this place. And the third way is in what we do. When we are obedient to the will of God the Father, when we do what God wants for us, then God works through that and in that. And we can be assured that when we do what God wants us to do, he is working. He's already working, and he is present where he is at work. So in what we are, in what we carry, and in what we do, we take the presence of God with us. And next week, Amy is going to be looking at how God can work through us whatever we do. So don't miss that one. Why don't you think again of that place? Think of that place. Wherever that place is, wherever we go, God has a plan for that place and a plan to bless that place. God calls us to be a blessing. In verse 14 of our reading, God says to Jacob, your descendants will be like the dust of the earth, and you will spread out to the west and to the east, to the north and to the south. All peoples on earth will be blessed through you and your offspring. We're in this amazing position where we're growing in number as a church, and we want to keep growing and keep multiplying like Jacob's descendants. But not just so that we can have more people to meet and chat to and get to know on a Sunday. There's more than that. We want to keep growing so that more and more people can encounter the love of Jesus and go out and share it with others where they live, where they work, where they study. We want to grow in impact. We need to scatter to the east, to the west, to the north and to the south, and take God's presence with us. And we want more and more people to encounter that presence and then take it with them. Wherever we spend our Monday to Saturday, even when we feel alone or in the middle of nowhere, that is the place where God wants to work, in that place. God met Jacob in our reading, not in a holy place, not in a church or a temple or an altar, but in the middle of nowhere, and made it somewhere extraordinary. We expect God to be especially present in church, don't we? We come to church expecting to meet with God, expecting to encounter him. And God promises that where two or three gather in his name, he will be with us. And he promises that where we share communion, he will be with us. And God never breaks his promises, but church is just one place. There's only so many people we can reach from this one place. But if we notice God's presence out in that place, in each of our scattered places across the town, then we can carry God's presence to that place, God's blessing to that place, and see lives changed in that place. More and more red dots scattered across our town. There are about, give or take a few, 350 regular people that would call St. Augustine's church home. And I was trying to do some maths, and I thought that what about if each of us, each of them 350, met 20 people in that place throughout the week? Some of us it might be a few less, some of us a few more. And what if we lavish the love of Jesus on them people? What if we brought the presence of God to them 20 people? My maths says that that would mean 7,000 people every week encountering the love and the presence of God. That seems like a lot of people. That makes an impact on our town, doesn't it? We need to carry God's presence to that place because it can make a huge, huge difference. And I believe that us taking the presence of God out is what will see our church change up a gear in its life and its growth. I wonder, has anyone ever used a pestle and mortar? Yeah, some people nodding. So a pestle and mortar, if you don't know, is like a stone bowl and then a stone sort of blunt implement that you kind of twist around in the bowl to grind things up into little pieces. And it's used in cooking. I am not culinarily gifted at all, but I have used a pestle and mortar. And one of my favourite dishes is paella. And in paella, you use a spice called saffron. And saffron comes in a little yellow thread, or a little red thread, really, and then it goes yellow. And what you do is, if you put that little piece of saffron in your rice, in your dish, it will make it a little bit yellow, and it will give it a little bit of flavour. But if, before you put it in, you put it in the pestle, I don't know what way round the pestle and mortar is, but if you put it in one of them and grind it up with the other one, then then you end up with tiny, tiny little grains of saffron. If you pour them in, then they spread throughout the dish and they colour it beautifully and they flavour it beautifully. And I think that's a vision of what we are supposed to be doing. We're meant to be scattered out as individuals so that we can have an even bigger impact. We can bring out the flavour and the colour in our town. We're not yellow dots, we're red dots. So let's paint the town red. Let's paint the town red with the blood of Jesus. Or with alpha flyers. God's plan for that place involves you and me sharing and carrying the presence of God there. You are central to God's plan for that place, to bless and transform that place. Think of that place. Imagine what that place could look like if it was transformed in the way that Luz was transformed. Imagine if that place that you're thinking of was a place known for healing, with a reputation for love and kindness. If it was a place known for justice and truth, or a place where we see miracles regularly. Imagine if it was a place where people time after time came to hear the good news of Jesus and follow him. What would you do if that happened? Or maybe I should say, what will you do when that happens? What will you do? Well, when Jacob's that place, Luz, that nowhere, got transformed by the presence of God, he did two things. The first thing he did was he changed its name. Verse 19 says, he calls that place Bethel because the city, though the city used to be called Luz. When places and people encounter God in the Bible, they often change their names. Think of Abraham, who became Abraham. Think of Jacob himself, who became Israel. Think of Saul, who became Paul. Think of Simon, who became Peter. And now think of Luz, that became Bethel. Luzerville becomes the house of God. That's what Bethel means, the house of God, the place where God is present. A nowhere becomes a somewhere. That place becomes that place. What would you change the name of that place to? Ipswich can sometimes get a little bit of a naff name. It can sometimes, when I've been speaking to some people, have a reputation as a bit of a nowhere. I wonder if people sometimes think of the town as iffy Ipswich, insignificant Ipswich. But we want to see the transforming presence of God at work in our town. Amen?
Amen?
Come on. So why don't we start calling this place what we believe it will become when God has his way, when God becomes specially present more and more in this town? Why don't we call our town incredible Ipswich, important Ipswich, inspiring Ipswich? The words we speak over things make a difference. They actually have an impact and change things. We're called to be a prophetic people, to say things the way God sees them before the change happens, in expectation that God will work there before they come to fruition. What words are we speaking over ourselves, our relationships, our friends, our family, our town, that are putting them down, that are doing them a disservice? Let's speak about all these things as if they already are the way God wants them to be and see what difference that makes. You incredible bunch of faithful town transforming people. Let's call that prophecy. Jacob changed that place's name from Luz to Bethel. The second thing he did was he marked that place. He marked that place. Remember when Jacob had his stopover at Luz? He rested his head on a stone. But verse 18 tells us, Jacob took the stone he had placed under his head and set it up as a pillar and poured oil on top of it. He turned something ordinary, a stone, a pillow, into something extraordinary, something that would act as a memorial to say, this is a place where God has been at work. This is a place where God is present. It's a reminder to become aware again and again when he returns to that place that the presence of God is there. People would see that stone and know that that place wasn't a nowhere but a somewhere. How could we mark our that place as somewhere where the presence of God is? How can we mark it as somewhere where God is at work? That will look different for each of us. Maybe we could leave an alpha poster on our desk. Maybe we could wear a cross to that place. Maybe we could start our time in that place by opening scripture, by reading the Bible there. Maybe we could find someone there to pray with. What could we do to mark that place as a place of God's presence? So God has a plan for that place, to transform it from a nowhere to a somewhere by scattering us, presence carriers, to bless our town. So let's call it what it will be, and let's mark it as somewhere special. One last time, think of that place. Think of that place that can sometimes feel mundane, that can feel insignificant, that can feel like a nowhere. And what I want you to know this morning is that even when you feel like that place is a bit of a nowhere, God promises that God is here and God is now. God is here and now. God promises to be present in that place. Wherever that place is, when it feels like a nowhere, God is here and now. And God is here and now in this place. Can I ask you to stand? And we're just gonna pray into some of this stuff together. Maybe just call that place to mind once more as we pray. Come, Holy Spirit, make us aware of your presence in this place, we pray. Come and move amongst us, we ask. Lord, we think of those places that you scatter us to in the week, and we ask that you would use us to transform them places. Would you make us aware of your presence in those places? Would you help us to become part of your transforming presence in those places? Would you speak to us about what you are calling us to do, about how you are calling us to follow you in that place? Thank you, Lord. We ask that your kingdom will come and your will be done in that place, in Ipswich as in heaven. And we ask this in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.